Hello, and welcome to show number 2427 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
The last room I ever saw was the inpatient ward at Moorfields Eye Hospital. On 23rd of March 2013 at 8 a.m, I was sitting in my hospital gown and very glamorous, knee-high, bright white hospital socks. An arrow was drawn just above my left eyebrow in marker pen, pointing down to be sure the correct eye would be operated on. I didn't want to believe I was losing my eyesight, but as the hours ticked by, I longed for my name to be called to head into the operating theatre.
When I grabbed that clip for the show, I listened to about 4 minutes of it because it was so compelling. And when you listen to today's guest, you'll understand why.
Lucy Edwards is a British influencer, disability activist, and journalist. We'll talk with Lucy about her new book, Blind Not Broken, in which she shares her inspiring journey of adapting to vision loss during her teenage years, her struggles, her triumphs, and how she emerged successful and content. And that was Lucy reading her own book. So the audiobook is both written and read by the author. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Lucy Edwards.
The one thing that I would say is just try and do one thing in your day that is just for you. Now, that may be reading a chapter of your book. You may not think you have time. You may not, you know, you may be just drowning in your own grief and just sitting in bed and watching TV show after TV show. But when I say, you know, doing something for you, make sure that you are trying to either do a journal entry to try and write down your feelings, do something for you, maybe talk to a loved one about your feelings and try and process it little by little and chip away at that grief. I found so much like just mental energy, just hating being blind, but I think kind of unpacking it and kind of demystifying the things that are in your brain that you kind of don't even want to prod at because they feel too painful. I think doing it tiny bit by tiny bit, and it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle that you want that eventually will all fit together. It's about doing things that are good for you. So maybe a journal entry isn't great. But for me, I found that writing my feelings down every day, it just made me feel so much better. And those journal entries became happier and happier and happier.
You know, for anybody who thinks Lucy is too young to want to take advice from, there are many, many very wise comments in that book.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
ListenLater.net, an online service that transforms articles, documents, and blog posts into podcast episodes using AI with human-like narration. These episodes are accessible in any podcast app. More information is at listenlater.net.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Lucy.
Well, today's guest was on the show about 6 months ago, and she was such a delight to talk to that we figured we'd have her back again to talk about her newly published book. So, Lucy, before we talk about the details of the book, maybe you can start by reintroducing yourself to our listeners and telling them a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. It was also a delight to talk to you as well. So I'm so happy to be back on. So my name's Lucy Edwards. I am a broadcaster, presenter, author now, and content creator online who also is blind. I don't know why I'm talking about myself in the... Yeah, but I'm not me, but there we go. So I lost my eyesight 11 years ago now to a really rare genetic condition called incontinenti pigmenti. And yeah, that's how I kind of got started presenting and yeah, that's what I primarily talk about on my channels. But yeah, I'm really excited about my new book, Blind Not Broken.
So lots of people have YouTube channels, as do we. But that's where we first learned about you. How many subscribers are there to your channel?
Yeah, so I'm so super lucky. So I've got 1.8 million followers on TikTok. I've got about 800,000 on YouTube, and I've got near enough 200,000 on Instagram. So yeah, quite a cool following, which I'm really lucky to have.
And you also do some work for the BBC.
I do. So I trained as a journalist back in 2017. So I went in as a through the Extending Digital News program as an apprentice, if you like. And I was able to kind of be full time within the BBC. And now I'm lucky enough to present quite a lot of shows. And I've done a documentary recently. A couple of months ago, I won a Royal Television Society Award for Japan, The Way I See It, which documents my time in Japan, talking to so many lovely contributors about the way, you know, they live in Japan, monks teaching me how to use chopsticks as a blind person, all the way from, you know, learning about Hiroshima the bombings there. So it was really compelling. And yeah, I mean, I would say it's a good watch, but I really enjoyed doing it.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the book Lucy Edwards has written about losing her vision and regaining her life and her positive attitude.
Well, Lucy, yours is a great story of going through kind of the depths of feeling you couldn't do anything to where you are these days. And you tell a lot of that story in your new book. Tell our listeners the name of your new book and a quick summary about what it talks about.
Yes, thank you. So my book is called Blind Not Broken. The reason that I titled it that is it became my slogan online. I believe in the social model of disability. And that's how I really revamped the way I saw myself as a person. When I say blind, not broken, that means to me that the world around me needs to be fixed. And that's really rooted in the social model. I'm not the thing that needs to be fixed. The rest of the world needs to change. And I think for a long time, when you're a young person going through sight loss and having all those, you know, operations, and also, you know, before that, all of the kind of appointments at the hospital with consultants, the aim is always to save, quote unquote, your sight, or my sight, as it were. So I think for me, you know, obviously I had that kind of whole mentality for so many years that, you know, when my sight eventually wasn't quote unquote saved, you know, what was I to do? Like, who is Lucy Edwards without the prospect of having that in her life? And I think I really struggled with an identity crisis past that. And that's what my book goes into. You know, it's part memoir, part self-help guide. And I just go through all of the really traumatic moments in my life that I've never written down. But I start with my advert. So, you know, a lot of people may know me as the ambassador of a shampoo and conditioner brand named Pantene, or Pantene. And I did a lot of work with them. And it was a main turning point in kind of me as an activist online, and kind of drove my personal brand forward when I started in the pandemic. And I was so lucky to do that. But, you know, I want people to know that it took me a long time to get there. And I never thought that that would ever be a dream that would be possible for me, because I didn't see myself represented in the media. I didn't have a role model when I was growing up. So I had to make my own. And, you know, I don't want other people who are going blind right now. You know, on my day one, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a book. I didn't have anything to turn to. I would Google blindness and nothing would come up. So, you know, on someone else's day one, you know, in the UK alone, 250 people go blind or lose their sight every single day. And I'm just hoping my book guides them.
Well, and it's interesting because we've spoken to you before. You've been on the show 6 months ago, as we said. And now you just sound so cheery, so positive, so upbeat. But it wasn't always so. And you were very honest and open about some of the darker periods you went through. And then you give advice to your readers. It's like, I've been through this. It doesn't have to be that bad.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you first lose your vision, this was my kind of perspective of it, that I lost all sense of ability to have self-confidence at all. You know, I would overanalyze everything. I would wonder how I was going from A to B. I would think about all of the things I'd lost instead of all the things that I had. And I think that's a really natural grieving process. And I think in the book, the reason that I talk about grief so much is that I did lose a part of myself. You know, people in life, we all go through a grief process, whether that's losing a loved one or, you know, a pet or something about yourself. But because, you know, through no fault of my own, I lost my eyesight, I thought I was battling with these thoughts of, oh my gosh, this is not fair. This is not okay. Like, I shouldn't be this way, or like, this shouldn't have happened to me. And I'd like, why me? And I think that mentality for a long period of time kind of eroded my mental health. And I did have a mental breakdown. And I think I discussed on the show last time that I am candid about all of these experiences because I'm not perfect. You know, it's taken me a lot to understand who I am again and talk to my loved ones. And I'm so lucky to have a good circle around me. But also I see the value in psychology and all of the trauma therapy I've done. You know, that one moment when I lost my vision and my consultant came in his jeans on a Saturday morning and said, how many fingers am I holding up? You know, that has taken a lot of, you know, trauma response processing, you know, all that jazz to kind of do. So I think it's good to be open about mental health. Like, I think there's a massive wave of it, right, happening in the media. And I think I'm just so lucky I can be so candid and there's no judgment, you know.
You were remarkably open and candid with your feelings through this extended process that went on for a long time. I was really impressed. It was really compelling. And as you mentioned earlier, your book is an interesting mixture between a memoir of your experiences over those number of years when you were making this transition and a combination of that and a self-help book. You give lots of advice that you kind of learned along the way, and you're trying to pass on to other people to make their transition easier.
Definitely. I just want people to have like little exercises that they can do within their day-to-day life that maybe they write it on their Braille note or they, you know, write it down in any way they feel fit. But I think it's about feeling happy about today. And that's one of the main big bits of advice that is a leading thread through the book, that I would always think about tomorrow or the next week or the next month. And I would never be happy with today because I couldn't face it. Couldn't face who I was becoming or who I was right now because I hated it so much. I despised my new reality. Because, you know, I was grieving. I was angry. I was not understanding, you know, anything. And I didn't see the point to start with in like tiny little exercises that would like make me feel happy in the moment, because I was like, oh, it's okay, because tomorrow when I have these like crazy goals that I would set for myself, like when I run this amount of miles with my guide runner or when I do this amazing task with my guide dog, you know, then I will feel okay. And then ultimately that thing would come up, I would do it, and I would feel just as rotten because I didn't do the things that are now in my book that I've learned along the way, the little exercises, the little wins, you know, the things that help me get up from the failures. And when I say failures, like, I do believe that my rich tapestry that makes up my life has been somewhat successful because I see failures as successes. And it's how I've got up from those failures that have then defined, you know, how I do the next thing, and I've learned from them. So, you know, there's loads of different tips in there, but I think one of my favorite things to do in the mirror is, like, a lot of people do it in the mirror. Obviously, like, I can't see my reflection, but I think telling yourself five things that you really love about yourself is really valuable. Like, you will not believe those things possibly when you first say them to yourself, but I believe them now.
Another thing I think is very interesting about your story is if people look at your life now and how successful you've been, how popular you are in the social media, and it looks like life is wonderful. You're at the top of the mountain. But people don't often realize the struggle that you had to go through to get there. And this is sort of the untold story that you're unfolding in this book to tell people it doesn't just happen automatically that you're at the top.
No, it doesn't. It takes years and years and years.
And you were very fortunate to have a very supportive family and social structure. That must have been a great help.
Yeah. It really was. I don't know what I would do without them. There's been so many times where, you know, I've been quite snappy, I guess, to the people around me. And they're they've got such gorgeous hearts. And they could see I was hurting and that my heart was breaking, and they saw how poorly I was mentally. But I think there's also a stage that's in my journey that I'm really appreciative of them for, because we have such a strong relationship that they are able to say, look, Luce, you are ill, but one, you need to go and get help. And, you know, I think the time is now. Like, you know, how do you want to help yourself? And two, you know, how can we help you more to not be so angry at the world? And they knew when to push the pedal and also then release the pedal at some different stages. And, you know, at some points I would like stomp my feet and be like, oh no, like I don't want to push myself. Like, I don't want to do this. Why me? And I would go back into that kind of sense of self-loathing. And it was kind of, I don't know, the push and pull for a while, until I then realized that, you know, I can now say that I love being blind, but it's taken me so long to say that. Yeah.
Well, I know Ollie's in the room helping with the sound connection to us, but you know, you paint him as a remarkable young man. When you lost your vision through that final surgery, and you'd only been dating him for a couple of months, and you were both teenagers, that's really impressive that he stuck with you through that.
Yeah, definitely. I owe a lot to that lovely man. I think when you're teenagers, you're trying to figure out who you are anyway. You're trying to understand where you're going. And not a lot of people can say, oh yeah, they're childhood sweethearts. And I realize I'm so lucky that I've met my soulmate at such a young age. But I think when I was really ill and 2 months into our relationship, I did lose my vision. I remember standing like next to him and saying like, look, you don't want to go out with a blind person. You are so young. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Just leave. And he's like, oh no. Like, just because you lose your vision doesn't mean you aren't Lucy. You know, I know that you're going to be happy Lucy again. And when he proposed to me, like several years later, he said, look, you know, I'm marrying blind Lucy. Like, you are enough just the way you are. And I think that has done a number on my self-confidence. It's amazing that I am able to have that support network. And I don't know whether I mentioned on the podcast 6 months ago, but possibly controversially, I always say that Ollie became blind with me that day, emotionally, and with our wedding as well. He blindfolded himself because he does believe that, you know, a blind experience is just as valid as a sighted experience. And he's enabled me to see parts of my disability and love parts of my disability that I didn't even know were possible. So, I owe a lot to that man.
It is definitely a shared experience. I tell people I've been living with blindness for 40 years. And the difference is it's Pete's blindness. It's not mine, but we're both living with it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad you can relate.
So these days, people see the successful, outgoing, cheery Lucy. But I got a bit of the sense in the book that you still have these dark periods pop up now and then about being blind. Is that true or not?
I would say less so recently, but I think I would be a liar in saying that I didn't have like the odd day now and then, a couple of times a year where you know, mainly on anniversaries now, where, you know, I always take the 24th of March off anything that I'm doing, no matter what day it is. I go to a spa. I do lots of different pamper activities. I have a facial, I have a massage, and I take that time for me to grieve what I've lost. And because it is still a loss and it is still something that happened to me, and I would be a fool if I didn't just take that mental health day for myself in order to just, you know, mourn what used to be. And I think the more years that go by, the less heartbreak I feel. It doesn't feel as strong nowadays because I love the life that I've crafted for myself. Like, I genuinely love being blind, but it doesn't mean that two truths can't be accurate. You know, life isn't black and white. It's very gray. And my psychologist, she says, you know, you can love being blind, but you can also hate being blind in the same sentence. And I've, you know, I think, as I say, there's not as many days like that, but I think there are aspects of anything that you go through in life as a human that you love and hate. It's all very complicated.
And that's perhaps a good message to share with people, that even after you've successfully gone through such a transition, that it's not like switching a switch on and off and everything's all of a sudden different.
Yeah.
There is some residual left over, and, you know, your life is what it was.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it isn't black and white. No experience is, and no grief is. And, you know, maybe I think sight loss in general, when you look at it, there's so many degenerative conditions, and, you know, there's not a lot of people out there that are like me who are totally blind. You know, when we talk about registered blind, blindness is a massive spectrum, as we all know. And it may be that you are grieving a loss of the text that you couldn't read on the ophthalmology's board several months ago. And you're going through, you're kind of sitting in that cycle of grief for a while, because I know I was from age 11 to 17 until I finally lost all of my sight. So, you know, it's almost like a cycle of grief to start with. And it may be like, just, oh, I've just adjusted to that one stage of sight loss, and then, you know, you're going on to another one, and it just feels like it just is always coming to kind of just make you just survive, not thrive in life. And I think it's about being kind to yourself and understanding that it is about every single day. This is what my book is all about. It's about taking one step at a time and understanding when to be kind to yourself. I always say, like, I've went to the deepest, darkest depths of my mind, and I know myself inside out. That's what my blindness has given me. It's given me a gift to understand the edges of my mind, like, I don't know whether I would ever have, you know, come close to. And I'm so privileged that I know when I'm spiraling, or I know when I'm feeling really low because of maybe something that isn't even related to my blindness, or something that maybe has happened and I'm blaming on my blindness, possibly. And, you know, you could see two sides to every story. And I think when something like sight loss crops up in your life, it's possibly, I don't know, all encompassing, especially when, like, you're trying to go about your everyday life. Like, you can point to everything that happens, like a guide dog refusal, or your cane snapping, or, you know, someone talking to your partner instead of you, and all of these different things we can kind of blame on society. But I think also there's an element of blaming yourself and going to bed kind of crying. And I think I've lost that, but it doesn't make it any less, like, real within the timeline of my story.
Well, you've been through a remarkable journey, and it's really nice of you to share it so honestly and openly with the rest of the world. Great book. We both really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Honestly, that means so much to me. And as I say, I think it's the little Lucys out there that are struggling right now. And when they Google blindness, I mean, they'll see me, but not only me, like so many other amazing people, you know. And if you see content creation and presenting and being an author in your future, and you dream about doing those things, like, look, it is possible. And you can be blind, and you can dream about those things, because it is possible and you can do it. I'm the embodiment of that. So, yeah.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Lucy Edwards, how to get her book, and how to contact her.
Well, Lucy, remind our listeners about the name of your book and tell them where they can get it and perhaps find out more about you.
Yeah, lovely. So my book is named Blind Not Broken. You can get it on Amazon, Waterstones in the UK, and it's actually coming out July 2nd in the States. So it's really exciting to be bringing it overseas. And you can find me on social media at Lucy Edwards Official on Instagram and at Lucy Edwards on TikTok and YouTube.
What formats is this book available in?
Yeah, so I was really excited that on launch day, on day one, we have a Braille format that you can actually get from the RNIB, the Royal National Institute of the Blind in the UK, on their library, as well as audiobook on Audible, and also large print. And you can also get another other physical copies in stores, yeah.
And you actually are the reader of the audiobook. I'm curious, you obviously did a great job. You read beautifully. How did you do that? You read Braille that well?
No, I don't actually. I am a very slow Braille reader, although I loved to note take with Braille and using Braille, as I did quite a lot of Braille lessons as a young girl. However, I have learned as a presenter to ask my access worker to read at an exact rate, at an exact BPM, so I can listen in my headphones, usually my AirPods, so then I can cover my ear and then no one sees the AirPod. No wires needed. And I can simultaneously read out loud to the track and, yeah, say it in my own voice. So it's a skill that I'm really proud of. And actually, my publishers hired an actress with a similar accent to me to read at the exact speed that I needed. And it was really fun because I heard all of her cheeriness in my ear pod. And I was able to kind of replicate that, but in my own style.
And then the chapter where you have questions and answers with your parents, your sister, now your husband, that was done in their own voices, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I really wanted that to come across. They all went to the studio. Yeah, I read the questions and then they read the answers. And I think it just adds an element to the audiobook that, yeah, that is really lovely. I when I listen to my dad's voice, I do cry. So emotional.
And of course, if you click on the show notes for this episode, which is episode 2427, you'll find all that information at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Julia LeGrand, a blind violinist and disability advocate who is currently studying at the New England Conservatory. We'll talk with Julia about her unique approach to learning music, her experiences as a blind classical musician, her journey towards a successful career in musical performance, and how she uses her platform for advocacy work.
If you enjoyed the show, be sure to share Eyes on Success with a friend, and we'll catch you for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.